Yeah, people are just losing their minds. They sure are.
Speaking of losing their minds, do you remember yesterday whenever we were talking and we had played the sound clip, I believe it was on Nicole Wallace's show on MSNBC. It was the sound clip that was between Pelosi and Trump, and I told you, I said, I really wish you could have seen her face whenever she was saying, I had no idea it would affect him this much, and, you know, yada, 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 that he was so sensitive about these things.
Yeah, I do remember that quite well, and it seems that his MAGA people have been picking up the sensitivity as well, and you remember they were the anti-PC crowd. They were the crowd that used to call people snowflakes and things like that. They seem to be engaging in a lot of snowflakish behavior, if I can use that word. You know, I've been scrolling through the Twitter feed and just looking at people saying, so now the gloves are off and we can call Stacey Abrams obese. Why they would pick on Stacey Abrams? Well, okay, maybe she would classify as morbidly obese medically. So if that's why they want to pick on her, I don't think that's the reason they picked on her. But if you're using it for a medical purpose, I'm not going to be upset about it. It wouldn't upset me. But what does make me scratch my head is, why are you so upset about it to the point where you're seeking out people who are on the quote unquote other side to try to apply the terminology to? Because you're so butthurt that somebody called your president, the guy you support, morbidly obese in connection with the fact that he probably shouldn't be taking a medication that isn't approved for the purpose he's taking it because he's in a high risk category for the reasons that they outlined. Well, so Nancy Pelosi has to say, she doesn't have to say, but she said it in a kind way. She said it in a medical terminology way. And we described that yesterday, that morbidly obese is a medical term. But you know what? I mean, I've seen pictures of Trump, and maybe it hurts so much because it's true. He's a fat guy. He's out of shape. He's got a big belly, a big, huge, bulbous belly that hangs over his belt. Okay. Here's a guy that doesn't have any medical condition or reason why he couldn't be exercising and keeping his weight down. He's got all the access to chefs, the top line chefs at the White House, to feed him properly. He could be exercising. I'm sure they have equipment there. But he's got a huge gut, man. He's got a huge, sloppy, sloppy, fat gut. Period. If that offends you, I'm sorry. It's the truth. Stop being a snowflake.
Hey, weren't we the snowflakes 3 years ago?
Or yeah, that's what going I thought.
On 4 years ago? Yeah, we're the snowflakes. Yeah. You know, a couple of things really, really kind of stick out there is the fact that they said, so does that mean, and, you know, I'm kind of paraphrasing a little bit. Does that mean we can do this now?
Right.
Like, okay, so you were just waiting to.
Right.
Right. You were sitting at the edge of your seat waiting to jump on Stacey Abrams for something. And now that somebody attacked Trump, I guess now you can, right? That's it. The doors are open now, and now you're permitted to do this.
Right.
That's a really interesting take on behavior. Frank, let me ask you this point blank and be as blunt as possible. Are these clowns trying to be more racist or sexist?
Oh, I think both, but I think racist is probably the primary thing because they're attacking her, a black woman. I'm sure there are other people who are morbidly obese that they could attack on the Democratic side, but they chose her because she's black. And, you know, because she's a popular potential candidate for vice president, I think they want to target her for that reason. But I think race plays a huge part of it, probably more than gender. But gender is a big thing for them. They seem to attack women all the time. A lot of the posts were from women on the Republican side. But yeah, when I read through the posts and the sub posts in there, they had so many racist memes. And I wasn't even going to go there. I'm just talking about the fact that, but yeah, absolutely, it's a racist thing. Because if you see the things underneath there, they had, you know, memes, characters of her eating corn cobs and, you know, just all kind of things. You know, And so absolutely, I think it's race. And one last thing I'll say that's kind of related to what you talked about just a second ago that sparked something in my mind. Did Trump ever wait for this kind of thing to go on the attack about people's appearance? He said women look like horse face when they're running against him as a Republican challenger. Remember that? The lady from that was like the Carly Fiorina. Remember he made fun of her looks. He's made fun of women for other looks or that, you know, he's talked about women bleeding out of different areas, their body. Obviously, he's had no qualms about making fun of people's appearance. He has not waited for this license, but his supporters are just itching at the idea of saying that they can do it, right?
Yeah, they all of a sudden have to run to their hero's defense, right?
Right.
And say, oh, leave Donnie alone. You know, leave our Messiah alone.
Right.
It's terrible. It's absolutely terrible. And then instead of going after, why not go after Pelosi?
Right.
Right. We'll go back to my original question to you, and then I'll answer it because it's how we do things, I guess. Right. Is it more racist or sexist? Well, if it was sexist, why not just go back after Pelosi? Right. Yeah. But they didn't. They went after somebody who literally doesn't even hold an office. She's working at a nonprofit.
Right.
You know, I mean, yeah, maybe she is going to be the vice presidential nominee. Maybe.
Right.
Right. But you all of a sudden think now, okay, I guess we get to attack her now.
Right.
People are. Remember yesterday we talked about. We were talking, I think it was during our Facebook idiot segments.
Yeah.
And we had said something like these people feel like they're now entitled to their behavior because of this idiot we have in the White House. You're seeing it again, right? Well, I guess now we can do it now. You know, now we're entitled to do it because somebody attacked another politician attacked Trump. Let's call it for what it is. The Speaker of the House, the most powerful person in the opposing party, or second, I guess, in this case, she would be because the Senate is controlled by the Republicans. The most powerful person in the opposite party took a shot at the most powerful person in your party. So now you feel you have carte blanche to go after somebody who who's working in a nonprofit someplace. This is what I meant by this attitude that they have that they're entitled to this shit.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep. You're spot on with it for sure.
These guys are amazing. Frank, we got two to come up next, and I'll be honest with you. I'm not real sure which one I want to do first. Why don't we go ahead and do the the Mika Brzezinski thing.
Okay.
Because in a way that's no matter which one of these two we went to next, they tied in really well to this. But Daily Beast. And the only reason I found out about this is because somebody in our Discord group kind of threw this thing at me, and I was like, well, what the hell are you talking about? And she said, oh, you haven't seen what happened. And I said, no. And so she turned me on to it from the Daily Beast. Morning Joe host Mika Brzezinski tore into President Donald Trump on Wednesday after he once again accused her husband and co-host Joe Scarborough of murder, calling the president a cruel, sick, disgusting person. In recent days, as the program has bashed Trump's handling of the coronavirus pandemic, the president has revived a vicious conspiracy theory that Scarborough married a young staffer when the MSNBC host was a congressman in 2001. He is once again tweeting conspiracy theories about Joe, falsely accusing him of murder, talking about death of a young staffer in his office years ago, and calling him dangerous to walk the streets, Brzezinski said, insisting Trump is deflecting from his response to the pandemic that has resulted in nearly 100,000 dead. Turning to the camera, Brzezinski added, "That's sick, Donald. You're a sick person. You're a sick person." She later got on Twitter and tweeted, this is going to sound redundant. She later tweeted She got on Twitter and tweeted at Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey. I hope everybody followed that. Calling for the social media platform to take down the president's accounts, as the world would be a safer place. The quote was, at Jack, at what point is Twitter a part of this? Take down Trump's account. The world would be safer. And then she said, retweet if you agree. You should be ashamed of yourself. She exclaimed on air, you'll be hearing from me on this. This is BS. There's a lot to take in there. My feeling of that immediately is, yeah, I agree with it's a distraction, right? This guy's going to start throwing everything he can at anything because he has to be looking at his internal polling numbers and seeing them, his numbers just going away. And so he's looking to change everything. Secondly, I don't think that somebody who, and I'm going to, I guess, change direction a little bit here, and I might steal some of your thunder, and I apologize. I don't think that somebody who had such a big hand in getting Trump elected should be looking at, to take take his account off of Twitter just because she's upset that this guy's attacking her husband.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things that you kind of look at them and say, you know, you lay in the bed you made, right? You made this bed, now you have to lay in it. But at the same time, when we want to see the guy, we now have a common enemy, and we have somebody that has a platform to maybe expose that common enemy a little bit more. It's a call of like, well, do we welcome this now? But you know, they're the kind of leopards that don't change their spots. You know, Mika and Joe, they vacillate so much. One week they're against them, the next week they're for them or whatever. So, you know, it's weird. But I would say this, she made a good point when she talked to Twitter about it. Curious at Twitter, why not delete Trump's misleading tweets? Twitter deleted two tweets from Brazil's president, Jair Bolsonaro, for spreading coronavirus misinformation. So I don't understand it. Twitter is a borderless platform, okay? And they are taking the president of Brazil's tweets down for misinformation. Why wouldn't they be taking the tweets down of our president if there's misinformation in it? So regardless of the mouthpiece that Brzezinski is, or whoever the mouthpiece is, it's a good point. And I wonder why, I mean, I have an inclination, but I wonder out loud, why doesn't Twitter take Trump's stuff down?
Yeah, he literally, with every other tweet, he violates the terms of policy for Twitter, right? I mean, literally with every other tweet he does.
Yeah. And the useful thing about this with Brzezinski and Joe is this. The deflection, and you pointed this out, but I want to tie a bow on it. If you think about, he's deflecting away from them because they pointed out something bad about him. In his eyes, his response to the pandemic was questioned by them. So now he has to attack them. Okay, so let's go back and rewind just a few days earlier. Obama attacked Trump's response to the pandemic. What did he then do? He used the word Obamagate. Okay, mm-hmm. So he deflected to that. This is a pattern, and anybody can see the pattern. And then they, you know, a couple of days before that, they brought out this little stapled together pieces of paper and said, this is all Obama put together on a pandemic. And then they brought out their little, you know, like their childhood project for school with the binder and everything else. This is our binder. Look how nice it is. We did this. Come on, man. All this stuff is deflection. All this stuff is garbage. It's like theater of the absurd. And I don't understand how, you know, anybody can't see that.
Yeah. You know, I think that these social media platforms have themselves in a tough spot. Why did Twitter censor what the hell did you just say his name was?
Jair Bolsonaro.
Yeah, there you go. Bolsonaro's tweets, but not Trump's. Well, it's very simple. Okay. Bolsonaro has no power to regulate a social media company, right? He's not going to stick the FCC on him and say, well, you know what? You're an entertainment network. Now you're going to be relegated, right? Or regulated, not relegated. I'm sorry, Frank. It's getting close to the weekend. I got soccer on my mind. I think that's why you see Zuckerberg kissing his ass so much too, right? That's why you see the CEO of Facebook really, really kissing their ass and not taking down a lot of the garbage that's being put up by the right and by his supporters, simply because that's where the power is. And if he doesn't want to be regulated, he has to cater to them. Nobody builds a platform like Zuck did and be stupid, right? So he knows where the power is. He knows what's going on, and he knows as long as he keeps these clowns happy, then he can pretty much do whatever he wants. It's his platform, and he's not gonna have to worry about anybody interfering with it. This guy that owns Twitter has got to be the same way. These aren't stupid people, you know. They're not. So that's my feeling. I think that the problem we have here is, you know, I don't think Mika did herself any favors back whenever Trump was running. Well, her and Scarborough both. I mean, they were both acting like they were trying to get their own television show on the brand new Trump network, right? I mean, if you saw the way that they just catered to him. And that was all well and good until he decided to turn on them, and all of a sudden now he's public enemy number one, right? And he's been that way, you know, basically for 3 years now. That I don't like. I don't like to this day the way she handled herself with the Biden interview, right? I still don't think she did herself any favors with that interview. Not with the question she asked. She asked a good question. She asked the right questions. It was her unwillingness to accept the answers and the body language whenever he was given the answers that she exerted that made her question her credibility quite a bit. And now she's basically deciding that she's going to call up the CEO of Twitter. She's going to, like, she has his name number on speed dial and decide, hey, you know, you and I have to have a conversation. You know, it'll be like something happening to, you know, my wife. And it looks like I'm calling Frank.
Right.
You know, it's like, yeah, I have you on speed dial. Like she has this guy on speed dial, and they get together every other weekend and, you know, go wine tasting or something.
Right.
She fell for the bait.
Right.
At the end of the day, he hooked her in.
Right.
All right, let me just ask you this stupid question, Frank. Do you think this thing goes anywhere?
No.
No. I don't either.
Not at all.
Do you think that she's going to let go of this by tomorrow morning?
No. I think she'll talk about it some more, and then I think after tomorrow it'll die down. But I think she'll still be hot under the collar. I mean, look, let's face it. We all know how it is when you have a loved one that's under attack. The first thing you want to do is defend them and attack back. Right. Mm-hmm. So that's her reaction right now. She's not using, I don't think, I mean, to me, I try to learn from every situation. I try to learn from interactions with you and other folks. Dealing with my own kids and everything else like that. You want to react, but you also want to think, what's my reaction going to lead to? Mm-hmm. What is my reaction going to lead to? Is it going to lead to the result that I want? And if I have to ask that question and I have any doubt in my mind that it's going to lead to the result that I want, then I better come up with some other alternatives before I take that action. So yep. I don't think she did that in this situation. I think she just fired off these gut reaction type things.
Oh, I agree. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think she will eventually back off of it, but I think she's still a little hot, and maybe tomorrow morning she'll talk a little more about it.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I don't think that anything that she anything that she had exhibited, everything that we talked about in any of the tweets or anything like that, that any of the accompanying material, I don't think any of that was premeditated or planned. That was coming from the gut. That was natural instinct right away. Yeah. And you're absolutely right. I don't blame her for it. But at the same time, you know, she's played this game long enough. She should know better. She was suckered in. She bought the, and if she continues with it, but she just makes things easier for Trump. Now he has something else that he can just keep deflecting with what he started yesterday.
Absolutely. You know,
it's just, it's a gift for him.
Yep.
I'm glad she did bring the awareness about what's going on Twitter, though. I mean, there was some positives that came out of that. But again, I think my biggest problem with that whole thing is, look, I mean, you were more than willing to give him a reach around 3.5 years ago.
Right.
You know, now all of a sudden, you know, he's the worst human being that ever walked the planet. Well, I got news for you, honey. He was always the worst human being to walk the planet. You were just willing to overlook it then, you know, not so much now. It's a funny world. Speaking of which, this terrible human being from the Independent in the UK. Remember I told you yesterday, Frank, I'm telling you, if you're not following Independent, if you're not reading them,
like you said, they're missing out. It's not an optional anymore. They're a must follow.
Yeah, they are definitely a must follow. Almost everything we talk about, I get from them. There's at least one or two every day that we talk, I get from them. Okay. I mean, the president responding from a question, the president responding to a question from CBS's Paula Reed. I'm sure you've heard of Paula Reed, right? Yeah. Who asked him why he has yet to announce a plan that would get the millions of Americans seeking unemployment aid amid the pandemic. He responded with, just a rude person you are. He said, before he said, the plan is that each state is opening. That's the plan, right? I think we've announced the plan. The plan is we're reopening the country. Just a rude person you are. We're opening up our country, and we're opening it up very fast. It's opening up very effectively, he added. When you see the numbers, I think you will be impressed, it's pretty hard to impress you, which I suppose that's supposed to be a dig. If you're a reporter, you really should be hard to impress. He then added, that's enough of you. He just dismissed her. Yeah. We started this whole thing off talking about how his minions really had a problem with Stacey Abrams. And while I agree, it is absolutely 100% racist. He has a problem with women. You saw that with his response to Pelosi yesterday. This response to the reporter, there was the one reporter, I think it was last week, or maybe it was 2 weeks ago, was the Asian descent reporter, yeah. Whatever he said, you know, ask China or whatever, however the hell he says it, right? And she said, why are you telling me this?
Right.
And so they had that back and forth. And the other female reporter who he called on next was standing there waiting for those two to get done so she could ask the question. And then he turned on her too.
Yeah.
Right. Say, no, your time's up. And she said, I didn't even get time. You were busy with her.
You know? You took too long.
You took too long waiting for me to get done, I guess. Yeah. And then he turns around and storms out like a brat. Can it be any more obvious that he has a problem with strong women, that he does not like women looking at him and basically telling him no?
Yeah, he clearly, look, I'll go so far as to say he has basically 1.5 purposes for women in his life.
Yeah.
And And I'll tell you the half purpose, and that is to have children, because he really doesn't even care that much about the kids.
That's pretty obvious.
You can figure out the main purpose.
Would it have anything to do with everything that kept Michael Cohen employed for so long?
Basically, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. He also today, boy, he was on a roll today, boy. They should have just named him Butter, right? They should have just called him Butter because he was on a roll today. He went after the let me see if I can find it here. Because I wanna do this thing justice. Here it is. He decided that he was going to withhold money from the state of, I want to see which one it is here, the state of Michigan. Okay. He's threatening to withhold funding, which of course he can't do. He can't control the money. We've already gone through this, right? It looks like every 6 months we have to keep reminding him that you don't get to control the money, right? If he did, he should have ran for Congress. President Trump is threatening to withhold funding for the state of Michigan after recent announcements of mailing applications to vote by mail to all registered voters. All right, so he loses his shit, which looks like that tweet, by the way, has been taken down. This tweet has been deleted. To which Jocelyn Benson, who is the person who was in charge of sending these things out, tweets back to him, "Hi, I also have a name. It's Jocelyn Benson." Again, another female, right? Female. And we sent applications, not ballots. He got all over them because they were sending out ballots. She's like, "No, we sent out applications." And then she said, "Just like my GOP colleagues in Iowa, Georgia, Nebraska, and West Virginia."
Yep.
But he decided to go after the female from Michigan. Apparently he doesn't like females from Michigan either. He has a really soft spot for them, or hard spot for them, I guess.
Yeah.
Michigan, for some reason, women in Michigan who hold any seat at all, that's a problem for him.
You know, this story is a great story, and it's a story that really needs to have amplification. You know, Michi Alcindor, who was one that had a nice run-in with Trump earlier this year, she tweeted about this. So today, President Trump, who regularly votes by mail himself, and I added to himself, but she said who regularly votes by mail, threatened to hold up federal funds for two battleground states, Michigan and Nevada, because they are trying to make it easier and safer to vote during the coronavirus pandemic. And then the press secretary referred questions about this particular issue to the Trump campaign.
The Trump campaign.
Yeah, how about that?
The genius of a press secretary that he has. Huh? Oh my God. There's a woman for you, right? I guess she's filling the other half a role that he wants, right?
Yeah.
Because he got this genius working for him.
Yep.
Frank, you know, honest to God, we can't make this up. We can't make this shit up. Look, I said it before, and I'll say it again, and I'll continue to say it. This guy's an addict. All right. If you look at his behavior, if you look at how he's doing things, if you look at how he was literally all over the map today, I don't have enough time to tweet. I don't make nearly as much money as he does. Right. I don't have enough time to do this shit. He's sitting in a room doing nothing except watching Fox News, getting all jacked up on Adderall and starts tweeting like a fucking champ. That's what he does.
He's descending into madness. I mean, with his whole, you know, the crazy talk about hydrochloroquine, talking about murders, you know, from 30 years ago, 20 something years ago, tweeting all these crazy things. It's truly a madman. And it's, you know, if we didn't laugh at points, we'd probably go insane too, as was the Jimmy Buffett line from the song, right? If we didn't laugh, we'd all go insane. You know, but it is sad and scary that this is our president. And
yeah,
nobody's doing anything about it. Nobody's doing a damn thing about it.
No. A problem that, well, let's face it, we did it. I mean, we elected him. But the fact that he has people around him in his party who just absolutely refuse to do anything with him. Speaking of people in his party who are just getting... Isn't what's her name from Nevada? Do you see that poll? She's getting smoked.
I saw the one from Arizona is getting beat, but I didn't.
Oh,
I
maybe that's it. I'm sorry, that's it. Arizona. I apologize. Yeah.
McSally, Martha McSally.
Yeah, that's her.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
Oh yeah, I mean she's in deep trouble. She was an appointed senator, which is a, you know, usually it's not the best situation, but. You know, you can still win as an appointed senator. Of course, you got the name recognition then. But, you know, she's following a legend who was disgraced by Trump even after his death. And she's stepped in it herself. She's made some stupid statements. And she's clearly a bootlicker for Trump. And that's not going over well there. Not going over well in Arizona at all.
No, she should know better, too. Yeah. You know, it's not like she woke up one day in Arizona,
right?
You know,
a petty person to try to piss on the grave of a war hero, a lifetime servant of the, you know, society, John McCain. And let's talk about how petty the president is. I know you wanted to talk about this. He will not preside over a ceremony putting up the portrait of Obama in the White House, because he's so petty. He's so, again, snowflakish and hurt by the fact that Obama has been universally loved around the world and believed to be a great president, believed to be a great ambassador. He can't stand it. Can't stand it so much that he's going to keep himself disassociated from and wanted to keep the portrait out of the White House. What do you think about this?
Yeah. The first time ever, right?
Yeah.
First time ever. I don't have a whole lot of faith in much of anything he does, but here's what I think. That whole Obamagate thing that we couldn't figure out just came out of nowhere.
Right.
This is why.
Yeah.
This is why. He knew this was coming up.
Yeah.
Right. He knew this was coming up. No one could figure it out. And with this guy, you always do the same thing. Right. Yeah. Whenever he does something like this, you just sit back and wait. All you have to do is just keep it in the back of your head. Just sit back and wait.
And
what did, you know, we just talked about Scarborough 10 minutes ago. What was the one thing he ever said that I like and I agree with, right? This guy, every time Trump talks, he's either projecting or confessing.
Yeah.
Every single time.
Right? It's so true. Let's throw this out to our GOP friends and the MAGA friends out there. I'm going to give you the great talking point. Because they couldn't stand anybody ever attacking Trump, what would they always say in the first 2 years of his presidency? And then maybe even beyond that, respect the office of the presidency. Respect the office of the president. Well, if you damn respect the office of the presidency, then you better respect the previous president who held the office of the presidency and give him his portrait and respect him. Because he was first, he was before this president. This president's job is to respect the office of the presidency and put the damn thing up on the wall and stand there during the ceremony. Just like whoever's going to come after him should do the same thing. If right. That's your belief, then that's what he should do.
Right.
And what do you have to say to that, MAGA?
And let's assume that Biden wins in November, right? He damn well better respect and continue the tradition.
Yeah.
Right. He there's literally no excuse not to. We all know this guy's a piece of garbage. Right. We all know. It's a universal fact.
Right.
But, you know, I go back to Frank, this one thing keeps going into my mind, I had a student who I'm still rather close with, I'm still rather tight with, who is staunch right winger. Okay. I mean, terribly bad. Younger than me. Much younger than me, actually. Great guy, great family. He's doing a great job with his family and his kids and everything else. Can't say enough good about him. But him and I got into a bit of a back and forth on LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. Okay. About something that the pod had posted. It was a meme or something that the pod had posted. And his argument to me was, look, to this day, I still have the military mentality. This guy is I still consider him my commander in chief and yada, 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 yada. And I was like, well, okay, that's all fine and good. I'm really, really tempted to go back to him now and say, if this guy is your president or your commander in chief now, wasn't the guy before him as well?
Yeah.
And how do you feel about what this guy's doing to the former one?
Right.
Because you've made your stance. You've given me your excuse.
Right.
Okay. Now your excuse is falling apart.
Right.
So something's not right here. How do you reconcile this?
Right. And then let him try to say, well, there's a disgrace that's going to be falling upon Obama. No. That's an allegation that's clearly been brought out as an attempt to deflect. No proof whatsoever. We had a ton of proof about, if that's your excuse about this, we had a ton of proof about Trump's wrongdoing, and you're unwilling to accept that when everything was put out in black and white. Even his own senators that voted to acquit him said, we hope that he learns a lesson from this. So they clearly said he did something wrong. They just wanted him to learn a lesson from it because they didn't want to remove him from office over it. So there isn't anybody in that Senate room that doesn't believe in their heart of hearts that Trump committed those acts that would have had him removed, that he should have been removed for, that they were in fact impeachable. They just voted against convicting him because they just said, well, you know why they did it, but their excuse in public was, we hope he learns a lesson. You know, something I wanted to talk about in terms of learning lessons and never learning lessons. This wasn't on the list of things you sent me, and I'm sorry for that. You know, Pompeo is possibly tied to illegal arms deals to the Saudis. Did you see this? Did you hear about this?
I saw it real quick. Oh, well, right before my electric went out. So, you know, I caught like a headline, but I really didn't read much. I didn't have a chance to see
it. This is going to be huge, Patsy. When it finally does hit this, because it's not getting the press it needs right now. But when it does come out, this is Iran-Contra or worse all over again, okay? And there was an unnamed staffer at the White House. And again, I know a lot of people that don't put much stock in unnamed staffers. But this person actually said that if Trump had firsthand knowledge of what was going down, because I tend to believe this, that Pompeo he thinks he's the shit. This guy thinks he can get away with whatever he wants to get away with and do whatever he wants to do. That he did this without letting Trump know he was doing it. They said that if Trump had known he was doing it at the time, he would have fired him. So this is somebody who would not go on the record, wouldn't give their name. And that, to me, and lends more credence to it. Because if Trump would want to fire this guy, then he would say, yeah, you know, clearly that's the truth. So to me, this story is going to be huge. And we've not learned from it at all. We let these clowns who have been around forever, the same clowns who do the same shit over and over again, the Bill Barrs of the world, the Mike Pompeos of the world, they're always doing these backroom deals, these back channel deals to enrich themselves, to enrich their friends under the cover of night and illegality. And they're not only are they selling arms to a foreign country illegally, but one of the countries that had the most to do with 9/11, Saudi Arabia.
Is this the one? And I'm sorry, Frank. Maybe I'm getting them confused. I want to say Pelosi touched on this yesterday or the day before. Is this the one where they were going to sell arms? Congress actually voted no again. Voted against it, voted no, basically. So they declared a bullshit state of emergency and then sold them anyhow.
I have to
listen. Or is this something different? Because I remember Pelosi saying something about
that. Yeah, this may be a separate thing, but.
Oh, holy shit.
Yeah.
Wow. If that's the case, then this thing got even worse.
Yeah.
All right, let me hit you with this one. Do you think Trump didn't know about it? I know what this person's saying, but in your gut, do you think he knew about it or not?
Right now, just from my initial take, the hot take, I'm going to say he didn't know it when it was going on.
I think he did. I don't think anything happens without him that he doesn't know about. Now, it's very possible that he didn't know it when it was happening, and he found out later. You know, where, you know, Donnie Jr. ran up to him and say, "Daddy, Daddy, look what I did." You know, that scenario, right?
I agree with that. I think that's what it is. And the other thing that you have to think about here is, I'm not saying that he's innocent in this, because I think it's what's leading to all these IGs, right? These inspector generals being fired because they're trying to cover their tracks. These inspector generals are on the tracks of this, and they're worried about them uncovering all this wrongdoing. So now Trump's firing them at the request of Pompeo. So he knows about it, and he's known about it for a while. But did he know about it at the moment that it happened? I'm not sure. Yeah,
that's the big question, right? So now he's just an accomplice afterwards, right?
Right.
Yeah. Isn't it nice? My lawn service picked a hell of a time to show up, didn't it? These guys, unbelievable.
We're probably getting close to wrapping anyway. So.
Yeah, boy, there was so much. Like I said, Frank, we had so much to talk about today. There were so many other things that I wanted to touch on. The news that Jane Roe behind Roe v. Wade made a deathbed confession saying she switched her support to the anti-abortion movement because she was paid to do so. The revelation was filmed months before the 80-minute documentary, a.k.a. Jane Doe, which is set to air on the FX cable channel Friday, FX, which is owned by Fox, right? Here we go. This got to drive these knuckleheads crazy. Her quote was, "I took the money and they took me out in front of the cameras and told me what to say. I did it well, too. I'm a good actress, of course, but I'm not acting now." She then added... This is class right here, man. "If a young woman wants to have an abortion, that's no skin off my ass." That's why they call it a choice. She died of a heart ailment at 69 years old. So, you know, she just passed. I guess, or are we talking about somebody else? Yeah, no, she died. So I thought that was interesting. That we don't have nearly enough time to spend on that one. In a twist of irony, and I want to get through these before we get to the Facebook idiots, right? So yeah. I'm kind of rushing through these. But I really wanted your input on this. CBS46.com, which is the local Georgia CBS affiliate, okay? "Armed protesters seek justice for Ahmaud Arbery." There's actually video of the Panther Style Operations Command Armed Patrol. On Saturday, the organization led an armed patrol in front of Gregory McMichael's home. Gregory McMichael is one of the men accused of being involved in the shooting, in Arbery shooting. He says the Special Operations Commander, who goes by the name of General Wattweiler, says he wants justice by any means necessary. Here's the quote: "You don't win wars by marching and protesting. You win wars by fighting back. You have to fight back. That's the way I was bred, and that's the way the military teaches you. You have to fight back. You can't just sit there when your family gets murdered or people get murdered. I'll be honest. Whenever I originally saw this, I got pretty excited. I'll be honest, because I kept thinking back to those jackasses in Michigan that are protesting with their AR-15s and they're protesting a virus, right? And now you have something legitimate. You had to, let's face it, was a cold-blooded murder of a kid who was doing nothing but jogging. And now you're seeing that same response, only from a minority community. So give me your intake, your input, and tell me what you think this is going to do to people who live and die with their AR-15s. They'd rather have their gun than their wives.
You know what's going to happen. I mean, folks are going to say that the First Amendment is the Second Amendment is limited, that it's, you know, they're going to try to attack the idea that some folks shouldn't be carrying weapons for whatever reason, which will come down to racial lines. They'll say that, you know, that's a direct threat of human beings and human life, as opposed to just a show of support for the arms themselves. They're going to give any justification or excuse to say why this is different, but it's the bottom line. It isn't. This is exactly what they've been arguing for, that you protect yourself, you protect your well-being, your family's well-being, and your items of property, which is crazy, but that's what they talk about, that your property is protected by your guns too. So, you know, it's the same thing. It's the Second Amendment. But I think they're going to argue against it selectively. They'll try to find their reasons for it. It is, you know, it goes to a place that I think that Trump probably, or Steve Bannon, I'll go to Steve Bannon. It goes to a place that Steve Bannon wants us to go to. He wants complete destruction, annihilation of American society. And this is the thing that gets me. If you read Bannon's storyline, what he wants, he is exactly what these idiots, I'm sorry to call it what it is, who buy into Trump and say the Democrats hate America. They want to see America destroyed. It's actually the exact opposite. The people who orchestrated Trump's campaign, they want to see the America that we live in destroyed. They want to see it torn down. And I think even Trump parroted this one time. He said, nothing will change. We'll never go back to greatness again in this country until you see everybody rioting in the streets. I think that's a quote that you can attribute to Trump if you look it up. But I think he got that from Bannon. Bannon wants a total deconstruction. They're also doing it with regulations. And I'm not going to get too far afield here because I know we're talking about Second Amendment. But this is kind of what they want. They want to see all this civil unrest. And it's going to happen. And then the folks who bought into his beliefs are going to pay the price. There's going to be death and bloodshed of a lot of people. And that's going to include people that thought that they were the only ones that had guns. They're sadly mistaken.
Yeah. I saw this and my brain immediately went back to the Black Panthers in LA, mm-hmm. you know, in the 60s. Mm-hmm. In our Discord group, one of the folks in our group, and I can't remember who asked, like, what do you think is going to happen to the Second Amendment or whatever now? And my response was, it's going to go the same way the 15th is now. You know, now that it's going to be for folks, in case you're not paying attention, the 15th is your right to vote.
Okay? Right.
So you're going to see that up until this stuff started happening. This very well could be a catalyst, and I'm not trying to hype it up. I'm not trying to sensationalize it, but this very well could be a catalyst that takes all of these assholes who say that the Second Amendment, and you'll see them actually put in big capital letters whenever they post it, shall not be infringed upon, or whatever the hell the actual verbiage is. I'm curious if they're really that interested in keeping your Second Amendment right infringed upon now.
Right.
Now that you got, you know, armed minorities, you got armed black guys walking the streets. Holy shit, right?
Yeah. A whole different ball game now.
Yeah, you know what? They always say, "Be careful what you wish for," right?
Yep.
it's one of those things where these people all want prayer in school. They all want prayer in school until the Satanists sit there and say, okay, well, we do too.
Yeah.
You know, then all of a sudden it's a different story. Right. But one question, one last question about this before we get to the idiots of Facebook. Do you think that Fox Entertainment is going to portray these guys as patriots and or freedom fighters?
Nope. I would bet a large sum of money that they won't.
Enough money that if you lost, your wife would be pissed, right?
Very pissed.
Yeah. Yep. I you know what? I'm with you. I'm with you. No way in hell anybody on that network, if they even bother to recognize that this happened, right? Which is a shot in the dark at best. But if they do, they do not portray these folks as patriots. They do not put them in the same light as those assholes in Michigan that are protesting a virus. They're not. There's no way in hell they do it. And you're not going to see, you're not going to, I wonder if they're, if Trump's going to buzz in and say, liberate whatever the hell that neighborhood it is, right? Or that street where the kid was shot.
Brunswick, New Jersey. Yeah. Whatever. Yeah.
I wonder if he's going to do that.
Yeah.
No, I don't see that happening anytime soon. Not in our lifetime anyhow, Frank, we still have a couple years left. Now to our, which is very quickly becoming my favorite favorite little segment. I like to call it latest Facebook idiots. Okay. And you know, the rule of thumb that I have is I won't mention the person's name who's doing these things. This one I probably should, because this idiot really should have his name called out, but I'm not going to. I made a rule, I'm sticking to it. Here's the meme, okay? Here it is right here. Let me read it to you. 1.6%. That's the big, wait, 1.6%. Now, Frank, hold on. Okay, brace yourself for this.
I'm holding on to the table.
This might be the ultimate in either white privilege or stupidity. I'm not, because sometimes those things overlap. I'm not real sure, but listen. Only 1.6 of U.S. citizens owned slaves in 1860, when slavery was at its peak, and peak is in capital letters, right? Yet that small 1.6% of rich plantation owners were able to convince the majority of Southerners to fight a civil war for a cause that only they reduced the value of their own labor and pay. How about that? Okay. It's just a trivial number of 1.6% of people in this country actually owning other people. A small percentage is trivial, right? 1.6%. That's all. You can call me goofy, but even the 0.6 seems to be a little too much.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And it was not illegal, and it was not state sanctioned to not do so. And it's, oh my God, I don't even understand. And
I don't even, yeah.
I mean, this is humanity. This is humanity. You're talking about the fact that you're trying to trivialize the fact that human beings owned other human beings to perform labor because it was a certain number of them. Today, we don't tolerate, and rightfully so, we don't tolerate one person in enforced slavery. We don't tolerate one person in forced slavery. Not one. We shouldn't.
Right. 350 million people here. We don't tolerate one. This clown's, oh, it was only 1.6%.
Right.
Fuck. I'm sorry. You know, I got hell for swearing too much, but oh my God. Here's the latest, Brainiac. Follow along. Okay. By the way, you remember I took Rocco to the vet yesterday, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Did I tell you that story about how you had to wait outside until they let you in? And it was a pain, but they really did a good job. I mean, it was efficient. It was, you know, it was at the end of the day, my biggest problem with it was just different.
Right.
Okay. That was it. So this knucklehead, this last Brainiac. So F Apple Grove vet and F Wolf, meaning the governor. Okay. And that's what she wrote. F Apple Grove vet and F Wolf I have an orphan 12-week, oh, I'm sorry, an orphan 4-week-old kid and can't see my regular vet because he's under 12 weeks of age. Apparently a virus protocol, which this again makes no sense at all. He's already been to a pet hospital and still not better, and the vet won't see him. Although they are not letting patients in the vet anyway, so I don't see the big deal. Apparently, I just have to let him die. Anyway, is there any good vets? Maybe Ohio, even if Wolf put a ban on vets. I was at the vet yesterday, Frank.
Yeah.
And what's Wolf have to do with the vet? If I could take mine to a vet, and I work with a guy who's taking his dog to a different vet next week.
And I took ours last week. My wife and I took ours last week to a different vet.
Yeah. So there's at least three. And trust me when I tell you, well, you and I don't use the same vet. And trust me, we don't use the same vet this guy's going to. So there's three different ones.
Right.
So your vet decided that they're not going to, and it's Wolf's fault?
Yeah, there's just this whole crony group of people who are so against Wolf. I'll tell you what, I went to, this is a good story. I went to Tractor Supply today, this morning, to go pick up some things for, you know, we got some stuff here and we needed some new equipment. And so I go there and I'm there pretty early. And the first four or five people to walk in as I'm walking out, all older white men, all wearing masks, all wearing their masks. And I'm smiling and I'm thinking, you know what? This is good. This is good because we can be smart about this. We can wash our hands. We can wear our masks and we can go back to functioning. If people are going to do this, we can be okay. Unfortunately, Tractor Supply didn't have the one thing I needed, one of the things I needed. So I went to another little store and people in there are very nice, but the front door has a sign on it in handwriting. And it says, due to Governor Wolf's policy, you must wear a mask when you come into this store. And I'm thinking to myself, that's a rather pointed way to say that. Mm-hmm. And what kind of message are they sending to their customers? And why are they writing it that way? Instead of just saying, due to COVID-19, due to a deadly virus, or COVID-19, we are enforcing the rule that you must wear a mask when you come in here.
That's all.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's a standard generic one that you can find on the state website that you could do anywhere. Just make a copy of it, stick it up on a wall.
Yeah. And it just struck me because it's like, why are you stoking this? Like, it made me almost not want to go in there and buy what I needed. And I even bought something that I pretty much didn't need. I just bought something because I was like, you know what? I'm not going to let this thing ruin my experience. There's something here that's decent. I'm going to get it. I'll patronize a local business. It's a mom and pop shop. Mm-hmm. But I almost walked out after I read it and just thought, and I almost said something too, but I was like, why bother? Just do my business and get out of here. And that's what it was. But you know, it's like, that there was that kind of dichotomy. Like I was at the Tractor Supply, which a lot of the farmers go to, and they were all walking in when they were in the parking lot, just getting out of their car. They already had their mask on. And I'm like, you know what? It's a good sign. It's a really good sign.
Yeah. Well, I've said for the longest time I think overall the vast majority of us are doing the right thing.
Yeah.
One more, and let me preface this one because we're just about out of time. And there was a couple I wanted to do, but I'll just do this one. The owner of the place where I work, extremely conservative, extremely right-wing, extremely everything. You look at him, at his business, and you look at how he does things from the outside looking into the company. He does it in a way every company should. You do not know what their political standings or feelings are. Right? That's a personal thing or whatever. You may discuss it in-house or whatever, but the public has no idea. You'll get these idiots around election time that because of the street that we're on, they'll just throw campaign signs in the yard, right? In the grass. And every day he has somebody go out and get them, right? Take them in, throw them away. So you know, he does things the right way. He does things the proper way as a business should. It's one thing for a person to have a political view or whatever, but whenever you're representing a business, whenever you're the face of a business, you gotta stay clear of that, right? And that's one of the things that's one of the reasons I really like this guy that I work for, is because he doesn't play that game. It's like, no, we don't do this. However, there is somebody who does own a business who I know, who I've trained with. In fact, I tested with him a couple of times. Who doesn't seem to have that same discipline, we'll say. Okay. And here is the moronic idiot tweet. Probably the best moronic one. Well, if it wasn't for the slavery one, this one would have been. Here we go. No one should be allowed to drive again until there are no fatal accidents for 14 consecutive days. Then we can slowly begin to phase in certain classes of people who can begin driving again, but at only half the posted speed limit. And then he hashtagged safety. Let's talk about the woefully stupid again, right?
The false equivalency is obvious to anybody with half a brain, because obviously one accident isn't going to bring home a virus that could infect your grandma, your grandpa, your mom, your dad, your kids. Whereas exposure to that virus by one person out in society could bring it home to multiple people, three people in every contact, right? Every one contact it gets, it's going to expose three other people to it at least. And then you multiply that out. So obviously we know there's a stability and there's a known, we've worked to reduce fatal accidents through airbags, seat belts, safety controls, signage on highways, speed limits. Did we stop doing all of that because it's acceptable for people to die in cars? No.
Right.
We exactly keep trying to make point. It more safe. And then also it's a false equivalency, as I said, because it's not going to continue to expand, because one accident happens here, it's not going to cause people to die somewhere else in the county.
Right. Yeah. Three streets over, nobody's going to be affected by,
right,
by that. I mean, unless you're related to them or know them. Yeah, Frank, I'm going to do the last one. I don't care. Dear Plexiglass, same guy did this one. Dear Plexiglass, thank you for protecting me from the cashier that just touched every single item that I'll take home with me. Okay. Moron. That Plexiglass isn't there to protect you. It's there to protect their employee.
Right.
Remember how we started this whole thing yesterday about these jackasses' entitlement that they have? Right. Right? How they feel that they have to be the ones that are, everything centers around them.
Yeah.
Here you go. It rears its ugly head again. Right? Nobody's going to put in this Plexiglass to protect you, Frank. Okay. Right. They're not. You're in. They got your money.
Right.
It's not about you. It's you about their.
You choose to go there. The worker has to go.
Right. Yeah. That's the difference.
Yeah.
Right. That's the difference. That person you're handing the money to, they have to be there.
Right.
Right. You don't have to be there.
Right.
So if I'm going to require you to be here, I got to protect you. I got to do something to keep you as safe as reasonably safe. I think that's what it is, right? Reasonably safe. Yep. Yeah. God. These folks make my head hurt, Frank. These folks make my head hurt sometimes.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. Yeah, Lou wouldn't be on today. It's Wednesday. He's golfing. Should have known better. I lose track of days, Frank, honest to God. You know, he told us 2 weeks ago he's golfing on Wednesdays for now on. I'm like, oh, okay. Then I'm telling everybody, oh, yeah, Lou will be on today. Oh, my God. Anyhow, I'm sorry. Great show today, Frank. You were awesome as always. Anything you want to say before we kill this?
Nope. I look forward to tomorrow talking about some more of these things that have become a staple in our show. Maybe we'll revisit Tara Reid tomorrow. I can just tell you, just from a precursor, there's not much to the story left anymore. We don't see much popping up, but we'll preview that and we'll talk more about it tomorrow. Until then, stay safe. Listen, use common sense. There's no reason why it has to be all or nothing. We can get out and do some things, but let's use common sense that we talked about. Wash your hands, wear the face masks. let's try to get this thing going back on track by using common sense.
Well, we'll leave it at that. We'll see everybody. Take care. God bless.